the body of Christ, and when did it start, and what are some of the characteristics of it. And we've been talking about changes that occurred in Israel, changes that occurred as the body of Christ was unveiled. It's not a good term. Revealed, started and revealed. It wasn't one of these things that was hidden and then revealed. It was not ever mentioned before Paul was saved because it didn't exist. Christ, the head, is in heaven, and this is after his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Went back to heaven, and starting with Paul, he has a body of Christ on the earth. But we're going to review some of the things about, we've already talked about Paul's sendings, and we're going to do it a little briefer here. His consecutive sendings. We know that if somebody's looking at the verse list, it's this is before we get to the verse list, just by way of review. But Paul was separated from his mother religion, Israel, in Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16, and separated from Israel to the gospel of God. And we see that in Romans, first four verses of Romans. It says that he was separated unto the gospel of God. So after that, let's look at his second sending there. It's not told about when it happened. It's told about later. The best we can tell from the bits of information that are spoken about in the scriptural information given to us, it happened, that sending happened in Acts 20, verse 6, but he was told about it before that. He was told he would be sent in Acts 18, 20. So he was told about it in Acts 18, then in Acts 20 he was sent, but he didn't tell us about it. Paul didn't tell us about it until Acts 22, and that's what we're going to look at. Acts 22, verses 17 through 21. And this is not the timeline. It's not the same as what happened on the Damascus Road. You can tell that from the wording if you believe the words. You know, it says, when I was come again to Jerusalem. And we'll get to that in a minute. But first, Paul was saved in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. And I see it there in Acts 9, verse 6, when he started submitting to the Lord and realizing that he was saved, that he wasn't condemned. If he had been condemned, he would have been destroyed already, like Ananias and Sapphira. There was no more sacrifice once he was had committed the unforgivable sin. So, according to Acts 9:15, Christ sent Paul to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. Acts 9:15. Let me just see if I can get that up there. Verification. That's what we go by, the verses. Not by what I say or anybody quotes from anybody else or anything. The Bible and what God says in context is the only thing that counts. But I hope I can show some of the things that he does say. And you need to use spiritual discernment to see that see if that's what they are when you read them. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. The Lord talking to Ananias now, that was he was sending him to Paul to give him his sight. Go thy way, for he is, in other words, at the time he was sending him, he already was a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles, before the Gentiles, it says, and kings and the children of Israel. Now, that's not ascending. That's a foretelling of ascending, of three sendings. But those three sendings come later in the book, as you can see. You know, the king's part would be starting in Acts 23:11, and Acts 26, in front of King Agrippa. So there's two kings, Caesar and King Agrippa, but they come late in the book. And the Gentiles come later yet, at the end of the book, or at least at Acts 20. But children of Israel is where he starts, isn't it? It says straightway, Acts 9:20, just five verses after what we quoted there. Let me just pull it up. It's important, I think, to see the order of things, that God did it in an orderly way. He didn't just dump everything on. All the changes didn't occur at once. And straightway, now Acts 9 verse 6, he was saved. Acts 9:15, the Lord sent Ananias to remove his blindness. Acts 9:20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. And if you go two verses later, he says, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews. He's going to the Jews already. First off, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And he is because, I mean, he's not saying he was because he had been crucified and dead. He rose from the dead, so he is the Son of God and the Messiah, the Christ. But even though Israel is mentioned last in that verse, 9:15, Acts 9:15, Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel, he was sent to the Jews first. He went to the Jews first. As one of the places that tells us that says in Acts 13, verse 46, and it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. And when you go back to verse 26 in Acts 13, you see that the you is Jews and Greeks. Jews and those that feared God, Gentiles that feared God and wanted to come to God through the way that God was working at the time, and all they knew about was the synagogues. They came and blessed Israel, according to Genesis 12:3. So as you follow his travels, Paul's travels, you can show in Acts, in that history book, that not written by Paul, but it was inspired of God, written by Luke, you can see that he went to the synagogues, to the Jews, and to those Gentiles that blessed Israel. They would come to the synagogues fearing the God of Abraham. And this is not talking about that time on the Damascus Road. Like we said, what Paul got saved on the Damascus Road, but this event later on, when he was sent to all men in a dispensation of the grace of God, with the gospel of the grace of God, that happened later on. So you can read about it, and let's go through the verses. But it occurred at a subsequent time. It wasn't on the road to Damascus. It was later on, years later, at least, 17? It said, I don't have the verse in front of me. There was several more years, I think 11 years later. Or 14, was it 14? My mind is, I must be getting old or something. Anyway, it happened most probably later on in Acts 18, verse 22, and at that point Paul understood that Christ's revelation was that he would soon be sent to all men, and not just to the Jews and the Greeks and the Commonwealth of Israel in those synagogues, but it wasn't ascending. It was information that he was soon to be sent. So we can read through those verses. Look at Acts 22:17. And I'm going to put them up there. 22:17-18. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem. So that hints that it wasn't even the first time after he was saved. It was again. The first time after he was saved was after 4 years, after 3 years. He came, it says he went to Arabia, and then he came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, he went to see Peter for 15 days. Well, that's not a brief visit. I mean, it's brief compared to a year, but the visit there in Acts 18:22 is by far shorter. It's within a day. Get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. So anyway, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, so he's not on the road to Damascus, he's in Jerusalem, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony. So in other words, Paul, the Lord says, what I'm going to tell you is abhorrent to the synagogue Jews. You'll have to get out of town in a big hurry. So in Acts 18:22, that's the only one of Paul's visits that matches these conditions. In Acts 18:22, it's just three words that describe that entire visit. Saluted the church. So these three words, and he's gone. He left town. Went up, or downhill, actually. Up on the map, but down to Antioch. But he argued first, argued with the Lord. He said, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. You know, people concentrate on Matthew 12:31. The unforgivable sin is blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But here he says he consented unto his death. And in Matthew 12:32, it just says, whoever speaks against the Holy Ghost. Now, Stephen's not the Holy Ghost, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was speaking the words of the Holy Ghost as a mouthpiece of the Holy Ghost when they stoned him for it. So, verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee. Now, do you get that? It's not I am sending thee now, like he said in Acts 9, as recorded in Acts 26:18. At this sending, later on, occurring in Acts 18, he said, depart, for I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles. Not to the near Gentiles that he had been sent to, in other words. But to the ones described as far off Gentiles in Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 17. So it's a new sending. In Acts 26:19, Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So the heavenly vision he had been given by then was in Acts 9. Paul was not being reprimanded or scolded or reminded to go do it again. Reminded again to go preach to those people that he was sent to in Acts 9. That's not happening. Because he said, I was not disobedient. He did what he was supposed to do in his sending in Acts 9, in Acts 13 also. So here Christ is sending Paul to different Gentiles. He was sending him far hence to the Gentiles. And don't get confused. He's not sending him to the far hence Gentiles. That doesn't make sense. But he was sending him far hence, far away, to the far off Gentiles. You could supply that because they're described as that in Ephesians 2 again. So They were not the synagogue Jews blessing Israel. These Gentiles, I shouldn't say it that way. The Gentiles that he was sending him to were different Gentiles. They weren't in the promises. They weren't ones that had claimed Genesis 12:3. If you bless Israel, you'd receive a blessing from God. They didn't claim that. They didn't care about God until they heard the gospel and realized their need. These Gentiles are far away, you know, both physically and spiritually. They're not coming to God to try and get saved or to try and be right with God or be part of God's program. And furthermore, that was notice of a future sending. Christ said, "I will send thee," not "I now send thee," as he had sent Paul before. This was a later notice of a sending that was still future from then, from that time. And we're going to see in a few minutes that far hence includes the Gentiles that he doctrinally calls far off. We'll look at those verses later on. There, if I don't get to that, there are Ephesians 2, 13 and 15. But they're not these Gentiles that were fearing God and blessing Israel in the synagogues. They're different Gentiles, just like we're different from the Gentiles that died in the flood there in Genesis 6. The Gentiles that Paul received this later ministry to were apart from Israel. They were alien from Israel. They were, if you put them together with Israel, it would be a violation of Leviticus 20, verses 24 and 26, that they were, Israel was to stay away from these people. Separate from them. Severed from them, it says, uses the term. And Peter, still in Acts 10, said, "It's unlawful for me to be hang out with you guys." So, they had their own idols. They had their own gods. And they didn't care about the Creator God. They were without God in the world, as it says in Ephesians 2:12. They followed Astarte, the idol or the false god Astarte, and which in the Bible is named Ashtoreth and comes down as Ishtar today, celebrated on the first. What is it, the first Sunday after the first new moon, after the vernal, first full moon after the vernal equinox, Ishtar it's called. Pronounced a little differently. English pronunciation is Easter. But Paul prepares from these sending. You can tell that he knows he's going to be sent even before the sending. The sending came in Acts 20, and in 2 Corinthians, written three verses before the sending, he says, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 10, verses 14, 15, and 16, and you can see that Paul is referring to this time as he's preparing to go. That's what he's talking about in the verses. Even before he's actually sent. By the time he wrote 2 Corinthians, he still had not yet actually been sent to all men, but he was talking about it in some places there, in especially in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10. He mentioned the notice that Christ had put him on, that he would be sent. Look at verse 14. He says, let me get that up there. Okay, verse 14. "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as unto you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." That's the gospel of salvation. He had come as far as the Corinthians. He hadn't stretched beyond that. In other words, this is as far as we've come. This is our limit in preaching the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ being to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. We have preached the gospel of Christ, or of Messiah, to you people, and not gone beyond. verse 15 in 2 Corinthians 10, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule abundantly. In other words, he's saying, we hope that you can thrust us out further, and you can help us. Give us money or provisions to extend our ministry. He was including them in the offer of being, like he says of the Philippians, fellowshipping in the gospel, being partakers in getting the gospel out further to these far-off Gentiles and afar-off Gentiles. So he says in verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hands. In other words, Paul is preparing to preach the gospel to those that have not heard anything about God. He's not treading on Peter's ground, where Peter had talked, preached to people. They hadn't heard about God. They haven't even heard that there is a God, a true God. They would be Gentiles. They would be heathen, totally apart from and alien from Israel. Hadn't come to God through Israel. So being told of his future sending, Paul is preparing to go to the regions beyond. And as you can see in Ephesians 2:12, this is the people that Paul is talking about, those that were without Christ in time past. These were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. Commonwealth being the wider group of Israel, of people that believed Israel's doctrine and God's working in the world through Israel, including some Gentiles that blessed God and blessed Israel with their tithes in the synagogues. So these were the aliens. They weren't the ones in synagogues. They were strangers from the covenants of promise because they were not in the Commonwealth of Israel. They were not those, not the ones that were being promised to by God or covenanted to by God. Israel, in other words. The promises were not made to them, just like they were not made to us. They were only made to Israel. And God told Abram in Genesis 12, verse 7, one of the covenants, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. There's the land, the covenant about the land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who had appeared unto him. I'm not getting these up there, am I? Let me see if I can post some of these other verses, catch up on these. Hold on. We'll get them up there. You can tell I could use some help here. Ephesians 2:12 and Genesis 12:7, the verse we're on. God told Moses, and we'll get this one up ahead of time. Deuteronomy 34:4. The Lord said unto him, to Moses, this is the land that I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, this is after confirmations to Abram's son and Abraham's grandson, saying, I will give it unto thy seed, and have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses had sinned in the incident of the rock in Meribah, or was it Meribah? I don't remember. Hitting the rock instead of speaking to it when he had an opportunity to show God's power, and he made it look like man's power. So he didn't get to go into the land, but he did get to look over into the land. So these alien Gentiles that Christ was going to send Paul to were not in those covenants of promise. They had no hope. They were without God in the world, literally. I mean, you know, it's not just repeating a verse, but that's their condition. These are the people that verse is talking about. But God made a difference. And we'll read that in a little bit here. We're still talking about Christ changing Paul's sending, extending it from his earlier sending that was to preach the gospel of Christ crucified to the Jews and the Greeks throughout most of early and middle Acts. So when you're talking about mid-Acts, that's what was happening, according to the scriptures. Often throughout there you see reference to the Jews and the Greeks. Until you finally get to a summary of that area, of that part of the scripture, in Acts 20, verse 21. And let me just pull that up. That's a summary, and you can see it's just three verses before he starts talking about his new sending. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Change your mind about who God is. God, the Son, is Jesus Christ. You know, that's the name of Jesus. That's his identity. He's the Son of God, the Messiah. And he goes on and he says, not only believe who he is, change your mind about who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So they were to entrust their salvation, trust God, that he would save them. That's because of the gospel of Christ. He'd been preaching all through there from Acts 13. And then you get to the next phase in his the Lord's revealing of the gospel. Let me see where I am here. Get back to my notes. This new sending that he's being sent on, he says it's the ministry that I have received. Look at the verse there, Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. He had started his course. That was in Acts 9 when he first got saved and straightway preached in the synagogues that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that I might finish my course with joy. And he adds something here. And, he says, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of Christ? No, doesn't say the gospel of Christ. There's a name change because it's a different audience. But it's the same saving message by which Paul was saved and that he was sent to the Jews and the Greeks. He's giving it to us here. It's no longer just the gospel of Christ to those that were looking for a Christ or a Messiah, to the Jews and the Greeks. Now he's preaching the gospel of the grace of God to all of us that need God's grace, that had nothing to do with God beforehand. We weren't there to bless Israel before Israel fell. So there was a change. The beginning of the gospel, it was the gospel of the grace of God. It was the same message, like we said, it's the same saving message. Believe that Christ died for your sins. In other words, the penalty for sin or the wages of sin is death. And Christ took that death, became your sin and died your death for you. Believe it. If you don't believe it, you need to be saved. Once you believe it, you are saved. So Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. And going to 1 Timothy verse 6, we see a verification that later on in his ministry, Paul wrote this after he'd been sent to all men, talking about Christ. He said, who gave himself a ransom for all. Not just for many, like it had been told in Isaiah 53. A ransom for all to be testified in due time. It finally was due time for him to be preaching to all men this same saving message. It was preached not just to the Commonwealth of Israel anymore, but for all. And when was it to be told? When was the right time to reveal it? It was to be testified in due time, it says. Not immediately, not at the cross, not by Peter right after the cross, not even by Paul's first sending was it preached to all men. It was not even to be testified to all men at Paul's first sending. In fact, it was not even told to all men until Paul was sent the latter time in Acts 20, verse 6 was the actual sending talked about in Acts 22, 17 to 21. All those early visits of Paul in that circuit around the Mediterranean, they were to the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And that was the extent of it until he was sent by Christ to go far hence to those far off Gentiles. And now we're going to take a look at those verses we've been talking about in Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 17. Let me just get those up there. Oh, good. Thanks, Daryl. That's a help. 13 and 17. And after Paul says that you alien Gentiles who were not connected with Israel were without God in the world and without hope, then he goes on to say, in verse 13, but now, so there's a change, a blessed change, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So that's where you get, that's where the far off comes in. He was sent far hence to bring in these others that weren't in the synagogues, that didn't know about God and hadn't come in because of the covenant that said, that where God promised Israel that those who bless you, I'm going to give a blessing. In other words, give incentive to other nations to be good to you. To you, Israel. Not to you people now listening to me. We're not Israel. But let's look in Ephesians 2:17, very similar. And came and preached peace to you which were far off. Remember when we looked in 2 Corinthians 10, he said he was going beyond that circuit where he normally preached. And in Acts 20, they wept on his shoulder, on his neck, because he was not going to be able to return to those. He was spending his time going far off. To those that he was sent to, far hence to those Gentiles that he hadn't preached to before. But that was our condition too. We were far off. Those were the ones to whom Paul was later sent. And it doesn't say that they were saved by the blood of Christ. And if you look at the verse there, look at verse 13 particularly. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's not that they were saved by the blood of Christ. They are saved upon belief in the blood of Christ, yes, according to the gospel, but they were made nigh too by the blood of Christ. Christ's blood preached at due time made them in the same position. Well, I should bring another verse into this because it sheds light on it. They no longer had to, we're going to, it's not in the verse list, Romans 15, verse 16. They no longer had to bless Israel to be right with God, because in Romans 15, 8, the Lord had said, or Paul had said about the Lord, that he came as a minister of the circumcision. Jesus came to the circumcision, to the Jews and those in that covenant, including those Gentiles that blessed Israel. But here in verse 16, he says that Paul should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. The gospel of God is the name of Jesus, the identity of him, who he is, that he's that prophesied one through the Old Testament. He's the one in Genesis 3:15, actually. He's the one they were looking for. He's the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. So he says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. So that what happens when he ministers the gospel of God? That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified or set apart by the Holy Ghost. It's very similar to what Paul says Timothy 3:15 about Timothy, that the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, make him wise unto salvation. Doesn't make him saved. It doesn't tell him the gospel, but it makes him wise about salvation, so that when he hears the gospel, it says, which is by faith in Jesus. There we go. That's the one. Thanks for bailing me out there. I couldn't remember whether it was 1 Timothy or 2. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Where does that salvation come from? Through faith which is in Christ Jesus, not faith in the Old Testament. So, but that's what Romans 15:16 is saying too. Ministering the gospel of God so that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. To be acceptable before, they had to bless Israel. And that's what Cornelius did. That's what made Cornelius worthy to have Peter pay a visit, the only visit recorded that Peter went to a Gentile. So, well, let's move on. Just like it says in Romans 3, verses 21 and 22, the blood of Christ is available to everybody for salvation, but it's only upon those that believe. Look at what it says about the righteousness of God that is simultaneously imputed when you believe the gospel. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or shown, displayed, exhibited. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, as you read the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, it gives witness how righteous God is. The very righteousness of God is witnessed by the law and the prophets, beyond our ability to reach that kind of righteousness. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, it's unto all, and it says, and it's upon all them that believe. Not all are going to believe. Some people will fit into the category that it was to them. The faith of Christ and the righteousness of God was to them, but they didn't believe it, so it was not upon them. And he goes on to say there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek in this aspect. God's righteousness comes unto everyone, but it's only upon all those that believe. All right, let's look a little bit about the Gentiles, which ones were Greeks and the indicators that we get in the scripture that God was bringing some Jews, offering them during this diminishing period when after Israel fell and before they were cast away. So that would be from Acts 7 through Acts 28, Israel was diminishing, and the Lord was letting some people, instead of be saved into Israel, which they didn't get their salvation and their sins blotted out until Christ returns, he was calling some to come into the body of Christ. So when we go on to Ephesians 2, verse 14, we see, for he is our peace, who hath made both one. Isn't that great? Both are one. We don't get to choose who the both are. You know, we must check the context to see. God inspired Paul to write this, and what was it that he was inspiring him to write about when he said both? Both made both one. Both those who had earlier believed the gospel of Christ in Acts 9 through 19 that he'd just been talking about, the far-off ones in verses 13 and 17, but they are in the body now because they believed the gospel. And the other part of the both is those who had later believed the gospel of the grace of God after Paul received of the Lord the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God. Those later believers were baptized into the same existing body as the earlier believers had been baptized in. As you see in 1 Corinthians 12:13, the earlier ones were baptized in then. Christ made one body out of both those groups of people who eventually heard and believed the gospel of Christ. Firstly, the Jews and the Greeks that had been in the synagogues and available to God to listen when Christ sent Paul to preach salvation by the gospel of Christ in the synagogues. And secondly, later on, there were the far-off alien Gentiles like us who hadn't sought the blessing of God and thus hadn't already heard and believed Paul's gospel of salvation into the body of Christ that he was preaching at that time in the synagogues. He was preaching there, and those aliens weren't in there, so they hadn't heard it. God made them both of them that were, the ones that were near, that were sitting in the synagogues together, the Jews and the Greeks, and them that were far off, that Paul had to raise funds to go preach to later, and that you read about in the prison epistles, made them both to be one body, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So Ephesians 2, verse 15, why? Why? You have to ask why. To make in himself of twain, of both of them in other words, one new man. So making peace. Well, you have a new man in 1 Corinthians 15. And I didn't mark the verse. The first man, it's 47. I got it up here. I'll just put that. But we're going to need another one. I think it's 45 in a minute here. Yeah. 47 tells us the first man is of the earth, earthy. That was Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's Jesus Christ. He's the second man. He's the new man. So, going back to verse 45, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Believe on him to life everlasting. Life quickening. So there were the earlier believers in Paul's gospel, the former Jews and Greeks, and then all men that could believe. And of those two groups, God made one new man, so making peace. Now they're in this new man. They're in Christ, baptized into the body of Christ. And they're told to put off the old man, put on the new man. You are, it's like he says other places, you are in Christ, so reckon yourself to be in Christ. You are dead to sin, reckon yourself then, because it's a fact, reckon it to be so. Don't invite sin back into your life. It's going to happen, yeah. We still have sin in our members, but don't encourage it. So God reconciled both those groups together unto God, and looking at verse 16, Ephesians 2:16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And I'm not so sure that thereby is by the cross. It might refer back to he might reconcile both. But we'll see. Christ Jesus, he reconciled both the groups to God in one body by the cross. Not in two bodies. Not in an early body and a later body. Not in some provisional body or transitional body and then into the body of Christ. No, it was the same one body. And he had slain the enmity. And came and preached, this is verse 17, came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. So the Jews that were still around, that you know, hadn't committed that unforgivable sin, that were far out there, you know, and they began to hear when Paul came out there and was preaching, they had a new hope. Paul is not switching from those Jews and Greeks from the synagogue that he used to preach to, nor is he excluding them. He's preaching to everybody now, including the Jews and the Greeks, but including us also, the rest of the world. Not just those that knew of God and were blessing God in the synagogues. They were nigh. They were nearby. But now Paul is preaching to those that were nigh, as well as to those that were far off, alienated from Israel, like us. But inherent in that is the fact that Israel had been in the process of diminishing. And by the time that Paul wrote Ephesians, it was after Acts 28, actually the casting away being in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29, and it was after that he wrote Ephesians, after the end of Acts, when Israel had already been cast away. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Israel had already been blinded and cast away. Okay, I'm done for this lesson.